Well, we come this evening to Numbers chapter 17 as we work our way through this book. And of course, Numbers chapter 17 comes after Numbers chapter 16, which is good, because in Numbers chapter 16 we had that awful story of Korah and of Dathan and his friends and the 250 chiefs of Israel who all lost their lives. Some of them were burned up by fire that came from the presence of God. Others were swallowed up as the earth opened up and destroyed them. And so we come to chapter 17. And chapter 17 really relies on us knowing what chapter 16 was about. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and get from them staffs, one for each father's house, from all the chiefs according to their father's houses, 12 staffs." Why? Why does he want these staffs? Well, he wants them because he wants to silence the grumblings of the people of Israel. That's why he wants them, because the people have been grumbling. Korah had been grumbling. Dathan had been grumbling. They had got around them 250 of the chiefs of Israel, all grumbling against Moses, and in this particular instance, against Aaron. Why were they grumbling? Well, they were grumbling over a question. And the question we could put this way: who can approach God? Who can approach God? That's really at the heart of the issue that Korah and his friends brought to Moses. They said to Moses and to Aaron, chapter 16 and verse 3, "You have gone too far. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" They are basically criticizing Moses and Aaron for saying that only Aaron and his family could be priests, and only the Levites, the tribe of Aaron, could minister in the tabernacle. Korah is saying, no, anyone can. The whole nation of Israel is holy. We all have God in our midst. We all then can approach God. We all ought to be able to walk through the tabernacle court and into the holy place. It is our right, is what Korah had been saying. And so God answers this question in chapter 17. Who can approach God? Who can approach God? And the first answer that we see in this chapter to that question is that those who can approach God are those whom God chooses. It's a very simple answer. God chooses those who can approach him. And God uses a very vivid and undeniable visual aid to demonstrate this fact. He calls all of the chiefs of the tribes to bring their rods and to bring them to the tent of meeting and to give them to Moses. And each man was to write his name on his rod so that there could be no squabbling afterwards. "Oh, no, that's my rod. Oh, no, that one's my rod. I recognize it. It's definitely mine." No, they had to put their name on it before Moses took them. There would be no doubt as to whose rod belonged to which man. And so Moses gathered these rods, and among them was the rod of Aaron. He was the head of the tribe of Levi. And all of these rods then were put into the tent of meeting before the testimony. And everyone went home, and everyone went to bed, and everyone slept. And then the next morning, as was Moses' practice, he went into the tent of meeting to meet with God, and there he saw the rods, just exactly where he had laid them before the testimony, except that one of them was very different than what it had been last night when he laid it down there. One of them had all kinds of appendages to it now. It had buds and blossoms and branches and nuts, almonds were on it. And this has all happened overnight, and all the other rods, there they were, all lying exactly where Moses had placed them, each with a name upon it. Moses gathers them all up and he takes them outside to the people who were gathering there to see the results of this sign that God had promised to give them. The staff of the man whom I choose shall sprout. Well, there was no denying that this staff of Aaron had sprouted. It wasn't just that there were a few little lumps that might resemble a bud. No, there was no doubt at all. It actually had every stage of life in this, the bud and the blossom and the fruit as well. There was absolutely no denying that God had done this work. It wasn't that Moses had gone out during the night hunting in the wilderness until he found an almond tree and broke off a branch that had sprouted and brought it. There would not have been an almond tree that had bud and blossom and fruit on it all at the same time. This was a miracle. Only God could have done this. God is conclusively demonstrating that he has chosen the tribe of Levi, that he has chosen the house of Aaron to serve him. They are the ones, and they only are the ones, who can approach God in the tent of meeting. He is demonstrating to the whole nation that it is God who chooses those who can approach him. Korah had said, "We are all holy. God is in the midst of us all. Therefore, we can all approach God." And God is saying, "No, you can't. No, you can't. You can come to God through the one that I have chosen. You can come to God through the mediator that I have set up for you. You cannot simply walk into my presence. That is not possible. That is not allowable. I choose who can approach me." And God shows that he has chosen Aaron and his family and his tribe to be his servants, his particular servants in the house of God in Israel. And the same is true today, that the God chooses those who can approach him. But we live in very different days from the Israelites, don't we? Well, I hope you realise that. Very different days. We're not wandering in a wilderness, carrying our tents on our backs and seeing the house of God pitched up in the midst of the camp and having to perform all kinds of sacrifices and ceremonies in order to be able to in some way approach God through his priests. All of that is no longer a part of our lives. And why isn't it a part of our lives? Well, I guess the simple answer is that all here are Gentiles. Don't think any of you are Jews. I'm sure someone would have told me by now. It's quite a claim, isn't it, to be a Jew, to be of the family of Abraham. Wonderful, wonderful privilege to be a Jew. Paul speaks about that in Romans, and he talks about the privilege of being a Jew, to be of the nation whom God had chosen to bring the Messiah into the world, to be of the nation to whom God had given his word and revealed himself in wonderful ways and given types and shadows of his plans and purposes. Oh, it's a great privilege to be a Jew, but none of us here this evening are Jews. And yet, many of us here this evening can approach God. Given that none of us here are Jews, I can quite confidently say that none of us here are Levites. And yet, many of us here can approach God. And since none of us here are Levites, and none of us here are of the family of Aaron, and yet many of us here this evening can approach God. How is that so? Well, the New Testament makes it very clear to us that all who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ as the great high priest become priests themselves. Paul speaks of us as being a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Elsewhere, Paul speaks of the privilege that we have of coming into the presence of God. We can come because we are priests. We have the right to come into the presence of God because we are priests. Now, how did we become priests? Did we go through some kind of course from which we graduated as priests to God? No, there's nothing like that. Did we have to learn certain laws and be able to recite certain scriptures? And then we were able to be priests. No, it wasn't even that. How then did we become priests to God? It was through the choice of God. It's as simple as that. Jesus spoke about himself being a shepherd of the sheep. And he spoke about the fact that his sheep knew him and he knew them, that they were his choice, that he called them and they would respond to him. And that's what God has done in our lives. He's chosen us and he's called us and he's given us the ability to respond to that call, to hear his voice, to know his voice, to obey his voice. God chooses those who can approach him. He is the sovereign author of our salvation. And so I guess really we've answered the question, haven't we? The question that was nagging at Korah's mind and Dathan and the chief priests. Who can approach God? Those whom God has chosen. Those are the ones who can approach him. But there's something else that we can dig out of this passage in answering this question of who can approach God. And I'd put it like this: those who can approach God are those who have been given life by God. God gives life to those who can approach him. Now, this is really vividly displayed in the sign that was given. Here are 12 rods that are brought to Moses to be taken into the tent of meeting, one of which God will cause to sprout. And all of these rods, they're just pieces of wood. They once were living pieces of wood, a branch of a tree, or the trunk of a young sapling, perhaps. But once they were alive, but now they're dead. They're just pieces of wood that these men have been using as they've walked many, many kilometres through the desert, showing the signs of wear and tear. And there's definitely no life in these pieces of wood as Moses takes them from the men and puts them in the tent of meeting. They're dead pieces of wood. But when Moses carries them out of the tent of meeting, one of them is far from being a dead piece of wood. It's living, it's vibrant, it's flourishing. It's showing every possible sign of life. It's still a rod. It is not rooted. It's not growing out of the ground, but miraculously God has given this rod life. And it's a vivid picture of the fact that God gives life to dead people. We all were dead in trespasses and sins, Paul tells us. But God, who is rich in mercy, has made us alive in Christ. And that's what he says of Christians. They have been made alive from deadness. They have been brought to life, and not just to life. Not just like a person who has had a heart attack and has been resuscitated, and there they are, they're panting for breath and they're barely able to move. They're alive again, but barely so. No, when God deals with a person and brings them out of the deadness of their sins and brings them to spiritual life, it's a flourishing life, it's a vibrant life. It's a life like this rod, bursting with fruitfulness. And that's what God does. God transforms a person from one who is dead, one who is not producing any of the fruits of the Spirit, any of the fruit of righteousness, anything that is pleasing to God. And God transforms them and makes them into a people who are fruitful, who are righteous, who are full of the graces and character of God. God gives life to those who can approach him. He makes them into something different from what they were before. And this is what happens when someone is worked on by the Spirit of God, as God chooses them, as God calls them, as God draws them to himself. A change takes place. They will not be the same as they were before. That there will be no doubt as to whether God has done a work in this person's life, just as there was no doubt as to whether this rod of Aaron's was the one among all the 12 rods. Was it really the one whom God had caused to sprout? No, that it was obvious, and it will be obvious in the lives of those who surrender to Jesus Christ and in whose heart the Spirit of God is working. He gives them life, and that life will produce fruit. And so whatever the claim may be to being a follower of Jesus Christ, whatever the claim may be to being someone who can approach God, if there is no fruit of righteousness there, if there is no fruit of the Spirit's work, no evidence there in their lives, you can quite confidently say, this is not the rod that God has chosen. Well, certainly not at this point. Is it demonstrating, is it producing the fruit that will show us that God has chosen this rod? It's just as it was before. There has been no change. It's been in the presence of God. It's been before the testimony of God. It's been in that privileged position, but it's come out the same as it went in. And so it can be in our gatherings that people can come in, and they go out, and they've come into the presence of God. They've come in under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. They've come so close to life, and yet they go out unchanged, just as they were before. No fruit, no evidence that God has worked a work in their heart, in their life. God gives life to those who can approach him. How is this? Who can approach God? Who can come into God's presence and live? Well, it is those who come in God's way. God provides a way for those who can approach him. He provides a way for those who can approach him. You know, this whole question, who can approach God, that was raised by Korah, all had to do with Aaron's position in Israel. He was the high priest. In other words, that meant that along with his sons, he was able to take the sacrifices from the people and put the flesh of the sacrifice on the altar of atonement, and there it would burn on behalf of the people. And they had the privilege of taking the blood of that sacrifice, sprinkling it against the altar of atonement, but also going into the holy place and sprinkling it before the Lord and before the altar of incense there. They acted on behalf of the people. They came in the name of God, serving the people, and in the name of the people, serving God. But it was only Aaron who could actually go into the most holy place. It was only he who could go through that inner veil that was embroidered with cherubim that guarded the way into the presence of God, just as those cherubim had guarded the way to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had been thrust out because of their sin. There was this guard in the way. And only Aaron, only the high priest, could go through and pass those cherubim and go into the presence of God, to the mercy seat and the Ark of the Testimony. And only on one day in the year could he do that. And then only with the blood of sacrifices of atonement for his own sins and for the sins of his people. But it was through the ministry of Aaron that the people approached God in Israel. They could only come so far. The people in general could only come as far as the courtyard where they made their sacrifices. Only the Levites could go as far as the holy place where the lamp constantly burned and where the bread was placed upon the table of the presence. And only the high priest could go into the very presence of God on that appointed day. But this was the means by which the people approached God, through the mediation of Aaron, their high priest. Without Aaron, without the priesthood, without the Levites, there would be no way for the people of Israel to come to God. And God has provided us a way to come into his presence, to approach him. We don't come simply by virtue of the fact that we have been chosen by God to be his people. That alone is not sufficient. God has chosen me, therefore I can come boldly into his presence. That's not enough to be chosen. It's not enough to have had life, received life, been brought from the deadness of sin to life. There's something a little more particular that we need to understand about that life. And that is that life comes through Jesus Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we have been made alive. But there's not a full stop there. It is through Christ. And the writer of Hebrews makes this abundantly clear when he says, "Brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." God has provided a way for us to come into his presence, not just because he's chosen us, not just because he's given us life, but through a person, through a mediator, through the great high priest, Jesus Christ. He is the one who opens the way to God, and there is no other way to God except through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. But all whom God chooses, and to all to whom God gives life, God draws to Jesus and grants them faith in Jesus. God chooses who can approach him, and God makes them able to approach him through his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful story, the story of the budding and blossoming of Aaron's rod. It's a confirmation of God's mercy and grace to a people who deserved his wrath. And did you notice when I read this chapter how the people responded? We would expect them to respond with great joy, wouldn't we? Joy that God had provided a way to life through the mediation of the priesthood of Aaron and the service of the Levites. But they don't respond with joy. They respond in fear. The people of Israel said to Moses, "Behold, we perish. We are undone. We are all undone. Everyone who comes near to the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Are we all to perish?" And rather than responding with great gratitude to God that he has revealed to them the way that they must come, they respond in distress that they can no longer come to him in the way that they want to come. That's essentially what's going on here. They don't like what they've heard. They don't like the limitations that God has placed upon them, that they must come through the Levites, through the priesthood. They're full of fear. Everyone who comes near the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. God has just said to them, "No, you won't, if you come the right way." So why would they think that they're going to die? Because they're still thinking in the wrong way. They still want to come themselves. They still want to approach themselves. And you know, this is so often a response to the gospel message. We plead with sinners to turn from their sins. We plead with sinners to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has provided a Saviour in Jesus of Nazareth. And we say to them, "Turn from your sins, acknowledge that you are unworthy to come into the presence of God, and plead with God that he'll accept you on the merits of Jesus Christ." And they say, "I don't like that idea. I don't want to come to God that way. I reject this as being good news. It's not good news. I want to come to God my way. I want to come to God with all of my goodness. I don't need Jesus." And they do exactly what these people were doing. And they forfeit then the blessings of God. They forfeit the life of God. They forfeit the fruitfulness of God that he promises to them, and as he's displayed it to them in this rod that has blossomed and borne fruit. And let me repeat then that there is only one way to life, only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. You must turn from your sins and trust in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross as the payment for your sins. There is no other way to approach God. And having come to God in that way, you must then live a life worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You must continue to turn from your sins. You must continue to resist temptation. You must continue to put your trust and hope in Jesus Christ every day of your life. And if you do so, you bear the marks of God's choice as you bear the fruit of God's Spirit's work in your life. Come to God in the way that he has provided. Receive the life that he has promised and approach him with confidence in his deliverance. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this vivid picture that we have, that you are the sovereign God who chooses those who may approach you, that you are a God who is able to bring life out of death, and flourish and fullness of life to those who trust in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the God who has provided a way for reconciliation, provided a way for peace and joy and fullness of life to those who will come to you through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you would be merciful to us all here this evening, that we would not trust in ourselves, not trust in our goodness, not trust in anything but Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary, granting peace and pardon. And Lord God, I pray that you would help each one here this evening to understand that there is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved than that of Jesus of Nazareth. Help us each to trust in him and live for him. We pray in his precious name. Amen. Amen.